Our thoughts and prayers are with the families who lost loved ones in the recent mass shooting in Buffalo, New York, due to racial hatred, and the families there of those in the California shooting. In a church service, a doctor was killed trying to apprehend the shooter. Remember the needless subway shootings in New York. Again, racial hatred. In Waukesha, Wisconsin, remember the parade? A massacre? Again, racial hatred was involved. And instead of fanning the flames of hatred, as much of the mainstream media are doing, why not heed Jesus Christ, the master teacher? Certainly as Christians, we should know and follow the teachings of Christ our Lord. As we need to be the salt of the earth, we need to reflect the light of the Son, capital S-O-N, and certainly help eliminate this hatred and strife. Matthew 5:13 and 16, part of the Sermon on the Mount. Well, let's ask this question this morning for our study. What does Christ our Lord teach concerning how we should treat our fellow man, including our enemies? And we'll begin our study from Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 through 48, and chapter 7, verse 12, in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and Father Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to PFE, Preparing for Eternity. And that's something we all should be doing if we're of the age of accountability. We want to take this opportunity now to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street in Martinsville. Yes, we study God's precious Word in our Bible classes, and then as we assemble together to worship God, we strive to do so with a proper attitude, but also in accordance to the New Testament pattern, thus in spirit and in truth, John 4:24. You would be very much welcome to join in with us. Something else to mention, we're always looking forward to having Bible studies. If you want to take advantage of this opportunity to sit down and study God's Word together, please let us know. And we're always glad to answer Bible questions you may have. Your comments, positive or negative, are welcome. So again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027. And our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, I have two announcements concerning gospel meetings that are coming up very quickly. The first one would be at the Stop 11 Road Church of Christ, there at Stop 11 Road and Five Points, right on the corner there. They're having a gospel meeting from June the 5th through the 9th, that's Sunday through Thursday, with Brother Tom House, who I have heard Brother Tom preach, and he will do a great job, I can assure you. And so their times of service, Sunday, 10, 11, and 5 p.m., then Monday through Thursday at 7 p.m., and then our meeting will begin following the Stop 11 Road meeting. Yes, the Morgan Street Church of Christ invites you to attend our gospel meeting beginning June the 10th and going through the 12th, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So Friday and Saturday night would be 7 p.m. Sunday would be 9:30, 10:30, then a potluck lunch, and it's always great. And then our final service would be at 1 p.m. of the gospel meeting. Who is our speaker? Brother Randall Jones of the Richardsville, Kentucky Church of Christ, a former preacher here at Morgan Street who is well known, and so we hope you'll make your plans to attend our gospel meeting as well. Now let's get into our study this morning concerning the question, how should we treat our fellow man, including our enemies? And we're going to listen to the Master Teacher, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So turn with me now, if you're not driving, to Matthew chapter 5, and we'll begin with verse 38. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. So we ask the question now, what is our Lord and Savior's teaching concerning retaliation? Well, it's just what we read. Of course, the Old Testament law of retaliation was a good law when properly used, as it was to protect the weak from the strong, the just from the unjust, of course. But notice, it was to be held by the authorized magistrates, not taking a private revenge, as some have thought, especially in the TV shows, the westerns we sometimes watch. They say an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Well, they're understanding it to take private revenge, and that was not the case under the law of Moses. As you can see, Exodus 21 and 23 through 25, and also Leviticus 19, 18, 24 and verse 14, Deuteronomy 19, 15 through 21. So, Jesus now is teaching his followers to have a spirit of love rather than yearning for revenge, as some were certainly doing in those days, and you see it clearly nowadays as well. So Jesus is teaching his followers to turn the other cheek and give one's coat in showing a spirit of love here, certainly with one's attitude and their word and, of course, in deed. That's what we want to follow. And this, of course, is our Lord's teaching concerning retaliation. And that's left up to God, isn't it? Romans 12, 17 through 19, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Well, what if everybody heeded this? Well, we know what a wonderful situation that would be. But before we go on, let me mention this. Certainly, if you have an intruder breaking into your home, you have a right to defend your family. That's something we need to mention. But this is taking revenge, private revenge, and that's not going to, of course, please God. So let's always remember that. Now let's ask this question as we continue our study. What is our Lord and Savior's teaching concerning going the second mile? Verses 41 and 42 here in Matthew 5. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Well, that would be two, wouldn't it? Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. So you see, Jesus was instructing those under the Roman rule, which the Roman soldiers could compel them to go a mile and carry their load or whatever they may have for this Jewish person to help them with. So Jesus is saying, go that second mile. That's going to mean a lot to that person, perhaps, It would. For some, maybe not. But look at the good that could be done. So let's ask ourselves, what motivates us to do good works? To be seen of men or to glorify God? Going that second mile is glorifying God, is it not? Going beyond that which is expected, this is going the second mile. And so the Roman officers again could compel the Jews to go that mile without pay. And if the compelled Jew were to go that second mile, well, he would see that the soldier would see that this Jew is not angry, but he's interested in actually helping me, and great good could come from it. What can we find on the road of the second mile? Well, we can find peace. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, Philippians 4:7. We can find beauty, a beautiful character, Romans 10:15. And how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Notice, gospel of peace. This is the good news, the glad tidings that we need to be spreading throughout this divided country and, of course, throughout the world. But something else on the second mile, this road of the second mile, that is, would be grace through voluntary obedience. 1 Peter 1:2, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. And look at Romans 1:5, 1 Peter 1:22. Of course, we need to obey the Word of God, the gospel of Christ, and it's by the grace of God that we're able to have salvation. This is on the road of the second mile. But let's go on in our study and ask, what is our Lord and Savior's teaching concerning His higher law of love? As we go now to Matthew 5:43-44, ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. You see, under the law of Moses, the Israelites were forbidden to make a covenant with the Canaanite nations. Exodus 34:11-16, Deuteronomy 23:6 particularly. And so because of this, the Jews grew to hate their enemies. But of course, they were to love their neighbor, Leviticus 19:18. So Jesus is giving His higher law of love. Not only should we love our neighbors, but our enemies as well. And this is not what the world would do in a normal situation. Of course not. This is a higher law of love coming from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Master Teacher. Does this mean that we are to have affection for those who are wicked, for those who hate and mistreat us? No, not affection. No, not at all. Because the word for love here is not friendship love or a brotherly love, but it is agape love, the highest form of love. John 3:16, for example, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God loved the world and showed it by giving His only begotten Son to die for the sins of the world. Did the world love God back? Well, the majority of the world refuses to accept the gift that God has offered of salvation through obedience to the gospel of Christ. Through His sacrifice, it's all made possible. So yes, Jesus gives his higher law of love because he is the means of our salvation going to the cross. Now, we have strong feelings of affection towards our brothers and sisters in Christ, of course, our families, our friends and neighbors. So Jesus is not saying to have these strong feelings of affection towards our enemies, but a will to do good towards all men. This is the point. Remember, the question came up, who is my neighbor? In Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37, the answer was given by our Lord in the parable of the Good Samaritan. As a man had fell because of robbers, left him for dead, and here comes a priest, goes right by, a Levite, takes a look, goes right by. But the Good Samaritan, he took care of this man, took him into the place where he could get his wounds taken care of, and he even left money to provide further if needed. This teaches what? Who is my neighbor? Anyone in need. The man was in need on the road. So we need to appreciate the teachings of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is teaching the higher law of love. And here is how to overcome evil. Again, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Certainly we need to do that, do we not? Well, yes, we do. This is from the law of the New Testament, the law of Christ. And we should certainly desire the ultimate good that can come from implementing the teachings of Christ, his higher law of love. What great good can come from our following the master teacher? And certainly we should desire that even our enemies would repent of their wickedness and turn to God rather than desire revenge. That's what we should be doing. If our enemies turn to God because of our obeying Christ's higher law of love, then they become our brother in Christ. They become our friend. Therefore, good would have overcome evil. You cannot overcome evil with more evil. That doesn't work. And everyone should see that. Only good can overcome evil. Stay with God's word. Galatians 6:10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Let's be sure we practice this. Now let's go back to Matthew 5, verse 45. Verse 45. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Have we noticed that God blesses those even when they deny him? Those that are against the truth, those that fight against the truth, those that take God's name in vain and curse him, they're receiving blessings from God every day. God has this kind of love for all men. What about us? We need to do likewise if we're Christians, followers of Christ. That's what the word means, doesn't it? 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is waiting for the wicked to repent. If they do not, they will answer to God on the day of judgment. They will be unprepared to meet thy God. 1 Timothy 2:4, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of truth. And of course, John 3:16, as we mentioned a moment ago. So Jesus, in giving his higher law of love, is commanding us to have the same kind of love that he and his Father have. And of course, the Holy Spirit, who gave us the inspired Word of God. Let's go on and ask this question. What is our Lord and Savior's teaching concerning being mature in the faith? We pick back up with verses 46 through 48, finishing out chapter 5. For if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if we salute, and if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, that would be mature, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Well, this would be mature in the faith, would it not? The publicans were tax collectors, of whom some would cheat the people. And even wicked people can have affection, for those close to them. It's easy to love a loving person, is it not? It's easy to greet someone who greets us. But see, here's the point. We must exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, Matthew 5:20. Jesus said, "For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." That's how serious this is. What if God only loves select ones on the earth, as Calvinism teaches, which is false as it can be? But just for a moment, what if God only loves select ones on the earth? Well, that would be a terrible situation. Because that would mean we may be of those that are not the select ones. In Romans 5:10, "For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled we shall be saved by his life." And so, of course, God does not love select ones. Now notice verse 48 again. "As we are to be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." This does not mean sinless perfection, of course, but to be mature in the faith as Christians. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." So it's all there for our admonition and learning and application. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Philippians 2:5. So unless we are following the teachings of Christ, we cannot have his mind in us. And study Colossians 3:16 and 17. We need to let the word dwell in us richly. And notice, as Jesus was washing the feet of his disciples, "As I have done to you, do unto others." In other words, humble yourselves and take care of needs. That doesn't mean we're to have a feet washing ceremony when your feet are clean, but this was dirty feet that needed to be washed. And so let's understand the teachings of Christ. Let's go on now, as our time is running out. What was our Lord and Savior's teaching concerning how we should treat others? Let's go over to chapter 7 now, in Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mount, verse 12, a verse we all should know. "Therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets." That's the golden rule we refer to. What would happen if everyone treated others like they wanted to be treated? Now, this is God's way. Of course, it's the golden rule, as we call it. So we want to be like Jeremiah, who said, "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Jeremiah 10:23. And thus we would allow God to direct our steps, having that attitude. Who has given us the greatest example of forgiveness? As Jesus was on the cross, he prayed to his Father in heaven, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they parted his raiments and cast lots there at his feet. Luke 23:34. If we are unwilling to forgive our fellow man, we need not expect God to forgive us. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Matthew 6:14-15 in the Sermon on the Mount, as we're studying this morning. So as we follow the example of Christ, let us remember that we as Christians are different by being set apart from the world, and we can make a difference in this sinful world. Faithful Christians having a godly influence as the salt of the earth, reflecting the light of Christ. Matthew 5:13-16. Folks, we must be determined and not allow the world to influence us to do evil. No, we need to study 2 Corinthians 6:13-18. So as we close out our study this morning, we must hate sin because God does, Romans 12:9. But we cannot hate our fellow man and inherit eternal life. It's not possible, Galatians 5:19-21. So let's ask ourselves this question. Are we part of the problem of hatred and strife? Or are we overcoming evil with good by reflecting the light of Christ? As true followers of Christ, are we really applying his teachings? Well, we wouldn't be true followers if we were not. And we ask this question, have we obeyed the gospel of Christ? If not, we stand ready to assist you. As we study this morning, this is how we can certainly overcome the hatred in the world and treat our fellow man, including our enemies, as Christ would have us to do. This is the best way to live. The Christian life is the best life possible. You need to hear the truth. Believe that Jesus is the Christ. Repent of your sins, making a change of wills, and then make that good confession unto salvation that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. Having made the good confession, then one is ready to be baptized, buried under water, so that they can contact the precious blood of Christ that washes away their sins, coming up out of the water to walk in newness of life. Romans 6:3-6. Acts 22:16. 1 Peter 3:21, so many other examples in the book of Acts of conversion. That's what we must do in order to become a Christian, and then live faithfully after we've been added to the Lord's church by the Lord himself, Acts 2:47. Now we need to be that faithful servant of Christ, living out the higher law of love, pleasing God and making a difference in this world. We stand ready again to study further or assist anyone in obeying the gospel. And we thank you so much for listening today.